The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. The final hour has arrived, and we're really looking forward to talking to Josh Kendall about a number of things. He's had some very interesting thoughts about the end of the season in relation to Nick Saban, but we want to start with Josh on the beat that he has covered for a considerably long period of time, both for the South Carolina State and now The Athletic. I don't really know what's happening with Shane Beamer because it looked like a great hire on the day it was made. Three coaches have now left to go to Auburn. I'm not sure all the reasons, but that's why we're bringing on Josh. Josh, good afternoon, and thanks for being here. And South Carolina fans are a little bit uncomfortable right now with the headlines. What can you tell us? What's going on there?
Coach who's in his first job as a head coach who came with questions of his, you know, is he ready for the job, just like anybody who's taken their first job does. So it's been a bad first month, along with Mike Bobo's departure. That was followed up by a decommitment from a five-star quarterback in the class of 2022 who's had a long relationship with Mike. So, you know, the momentum is moving in the wrong direction for Shane Beamer. Tracy Rocker's hire, while you know, not a huge deal. You know, you don't live and die on your defensive line coach generally in this league. But it's just another thing. It's just kind of been a drip, drip, drip for a week now. Bobo and Friend leaves. Gunnar Stockton, the quarterback, decommits. Now Tracy Rocker. It just feels like the momentum keeps moving downhill.
And, Josh, that wasn't the case on the day he was hired. We talked to you, and there was optimism. He had done, I thought, a really spectacular job dealing with the media. So I know I could ask the same question 15 different ways, but what is your sense of why is some of this circumstantial? Is some of this his inability to deal with the moment, the fact that you said he's a first-year coach? Is he not getting the support? Is the money not there? How do you characterize and explain all this?
I don't think it has anything to do with Shane Beamer, frankly. You know, if Nick Saban had been the hire, would he have been able to keep coaches? Yes. But most of this is circumstantial. The circumstances being South Carolina's roster is in rough shape. If you're off the street, if you're anybody, including certainly Mike Bobo and Will Friend and Tracy Rocker, and you look at the jobs at Auburn and South Carolina, you say the Auburn job is a better job. Auburn is closer to being competitive than South Carolina is. I'm not sure I want to sign on for this long haul, and it's going to be a long haul here because, you know, this program is in no better shape than it was when Will Muschamp took it over. So, you know, you just take a better job. The problem is it comes a week after you just accepted the job and a few days after the Board of Trustees approves your six-figure and seven-figure contracts. And particularly in Mike's case, you know, as the last month of the season, he was the interim head coach here and spent a lot of time being very blunt about the commitment level of the players and how it needed to be better in some cases and how he was concerned that coaches weren't able to hold players accountable this season because they could opt out at any time they wanted to and you needed to do things the right way. And then he leaves a week after he accepts the job. So that rubs some people the wrong way, and that's understandable. I mean, that's where we are with, you know, too often. Every circumstance is different. You know, you can understand people have to make the professional decisions they have to make. But we often see coaches acting in a way that's opposite to the way that they talk loudly about wanting their players to act.
Josh Kendall talking about the unfortunate beginning for Shane Beamer. Let me change gears a little bit, and we're going to share with the audience a tweet that you put up in the aftermath of Alabama's national championship game. This is from Josh Kendall. Alabama is sucking all the air out of the room. Is this what we want football to be? The floor is yours, Josh.
Well, I just, you know, I'm a little bored with it. And, you know, I appreciate how good Alabama is. I really do. I voted Alabama players 1, 2, 3 on my Heisman ballot. I've never voted a straight ticket like that before in my life. I think that they're remarkable. They're so remarkable that it was almost pedestrian. In the national championship game, they had 600 and plus yards. Mac Jones had 5 touchdowns. Devontae has 200 yards in the first half. And it just felt like, yep, this is what we knew was going to happen. And I don't think that's great for college football. It's not as interesting to me. I just, you know, everybody in the SEC, a lot of programs in the SEC, I believe, have hurt themselves by chasing Alabama, by saying we have to be Alabama or nothing else, nothing, or that's not good enough. Well, the further and further Alabama gets out in front, the more futile that chase becomes, and, you know, it's just it's not as fun when you know what's going to happen before the season starts. I feel like we know what's going to happen before the season starts too much.
Josh, I understand your thought process, but you understand what I'm about to ask you, but what can you do about it?
Oh, nothing. I mean, Nick Saban is doing his job. He's doing it better than anybody has ever done it. I think he's clearly, to me, I won't say that, to me, he's the best coach in college football history. And how he cemented that was not with his 7th national championship, but with remaking his team and the way he does things on the field almost completely in the midst of those 7 and hardly missing a beat. It's absolutely remarkable. We should appreciate what Alabama and Nick Saban have done, and I do. But as a consumer, you're starting to lose even somebody like me who is a diehard. I can't imagine the casual fan, what incentive do they have to turn on the TV to see Alabama win another title? This is not an Alabama issue necessarily. This is a college football and an everybody else issue. But it's just, you know, when you get to the end of the national championship game and it hasn't been competitive and they haven't played a competitive game all year and none of us are really surprised, I don't love that as a consumer.
But as you well know, you followed the sport as closely as anyone. LSU won last year with one of the greatest teams ever. Clemson won the year before and 2 years before that. It's not like this is a John Wooden run in the 60s and 70s where nobody else wins. I realize that streak finally came to an end. But, I say this, and this is almost laughable. He's only won 6 of the last 12, Josh.
Exactly. That's plenty for me. And it's not like the other 6 have gone to 6 other teams. I mean, Clemson and Ohio State are kind of 1A and 1B of my argument. You know, we can fill out – you feel pretty confident you can fill out 3 of the Final 4 next year's bracket right now?
Yes, I do.
Comfortable doing that?
I feel pretty good.
So that's the same problem. So the regular season, you know, we're just waiting for the Final 4 – and then if we get to the Final 4 and we're just waiting for Alabama to beat everybody by 30, as you know, and with Ohio State being the only non-Southern powerhouse at the moment, I just think your audience, I just think it's bad over time for your audience and for the growth of your sport.
Well, no, I it's impossible to find fault with your thoughts, but Josh, I am curious, if you could tweak or change anything, what would it be?
Convince Nick Saban that retirement's not that bad, you know. Buy him another lake house. I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, that's all it's going to be. I think, you know, you've heard people talk about changing scholarship rules. You limit them and see if you can distribute the talent more. I don't know that that's going to do anything. NLI is not, if they ever get around to passing it, is not going to level the playing field because, you know, if it comes down to who's got the most resources that is willing to commit to football, guess what? Alabama wins that national championship too. So I think we're kind of waiting for Nick Saban to decide he would rather do something else. So,
but hold on a second though. Clemson has upped its game, as you know. Carolina beat them 5 years in a row, and then they went crazy, and they're still in contention. So are other schools. I agree. I think there is too much obsession with Nick Saban. Nick Saban isn't responsible for Will Muschamp losing his job. Will Muschamp was just a lousy head football coach.
No, he's not responsible for that at all. It's not the fault of Nick Saban or Alabama. I think it's the fault in some cases and I'm not going to say 13 other SEC teams, because there are four or five who have the geography, the resources, the tradition to who can reasonably feel like, all right, we should be able to compete with Alabama on a regular basis. But there are nine or ten or eight who can't reasonably look in the mirror and say, yes, we can and should be Alabama. So when you try to be Alabama every year, I think you keep yourself from being whatever your maximum is. So if you're at South Carolina and, you know, your ceiling is an 8-4 average every year, and then every now and then you bump up like the early 2010s, what they did under Steve Spurrier. If that's your ceiling, you know, I don't think you help yourself getting there by telling yourself, we can be Alabama, we can do this on a consistent basis. And the further out in front Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State get, the less fun it gets for everybody else. I mean, so you've got three fan bases in college football who are having fun from August until, what are we, January, middle of January now. And, you know, I would love for the wealth to be distributed a little bit more. But, you know, again, I don't have a solution other than, you know, Nick retiring.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not going to say you're wrong about that. That would solve some problems. But Alabama was pretty good before Saban got there. They took a break for about 20 years, but they were pretty capable.
Okay, then that's all I'm asking. Just have them take a break.
Okay.
Just have them take another break.
I think what you should
for a little bit.
I think what you should do is appeal to the commissioner and ask him for Saban to skip next year, opt out.
I'll next time I see him, I will run it by him, and I will let you know the response.
Okay. Josh, thank you. We'll talk soon. Always great to have you on.
Thanks, Paul.
Josh Kendall wants Nick Saban to retire, and who doesn't unless you're an Alabama fan? We will take a break, come back. Much more to come on what's turned into a pretty wacky Wednesday. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we are back. Great to have you here Wednesday night. And Squirrel, please save the day, Squirrel.
It won't be hard after Josh. I mean, Josh, I'm sad for him. I mean, the next year hasn't even happened yet, and he's given up already. I mean,
we need to have socialized college football. We don't have enough of it going around.
I mean, that was hard to listen to. I mean, my advice for other teams is just to step up, you know, and Bama's not going to be on top forever, but, you know, they're on top right now. I guess that's all that matters. But, you know, you're talking about Jim from Crestwood, and he was always my personal favorite back in the FM days and early satellite radio days of your show. And when you'd say, let's go to Jim from, I'd always hope it was Crestwood, and it was always a letdown when you say Tuscaloosa after that. But, you know, speaking of Tuscaloosa, it was good to hear the old man's voice the other day. He sounded healthy. He sounded strong.
He did, yeah. He spoke briefly to
Sound
the
good.
Archbishop.
Sounded good. And speaking of epic callers, you know, after confessing to Jeff from Columbus a week or two ago that, you know, he kind of helped you through the dark days of the show, were you embarrassed by his call yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, Jeff is just a bad loser. And, you know, he instead of just, you know, First of all, he has no ability to show any degree of grace or.
Bringing up a 2-year-old game immediately, up 2-year-old history. What was that about? And then attacking innocent callers, for whatever reason, maybe they don't call in a whole lot. But I don't know. I just expected a whole lot out of one of the more epic callers of the show.
Yeah, that's what happens, though.
We've all been disappointed before. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you. Speaking of epic callers to the show, I-Man is next.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of agree with Squirrel after Josh's little call there. It's doomsday. Is it me or is it the rest of the country that has this extreme fatigue? I think the SEC fans, at least from maybe 5 or 6 schools, you appreciate the competition with Alabama. I mean, there's not everybody in the world gets the opportunity to play Alabama every year. And I know there's a lot of people say they want them, but they really don't. But I kind of get the fatigue across the country. But the only way to get rid of that fatigue, especially when you're talking about Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, somebody's got to step up and start beating some people. And it's a tall order because those are pretty prominent programs at this point right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I'm not one to give patriotic speeches, but I don't think this country was built on, we got no shot against England, so why have a tea party? I mean, it's just,
right.
I mean, it's absurd logic. And
I mean,
and Alabama does not win every year. I mean, last year they didn't win their own division.
LSU has snuck in there. Auburn has snuck in there. Georgia's kind of handled the East there for a little bit. If there's anybody disgruntled, I think it'd be the people in the East, because at least Alabama has some revolving going on, and kind of some.
And I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with most of the schools. Yeah, if you're at LSU, Georgia, Auburn, you're compared to Alabama because you are striving to be on that level. But at South Carolina, come on. I mean, they couldn't beat anyone this year.
And some of these other schools, I realize this is an odd year with the COVID situations and everything. But, when you see some of these other schools, let me ask you a question. Would it help some of these schools to publicly challenge some of these other schools live on the air to where people have to respond? I mean, if you're saying that you want to beef up your schedule and you're trying to beef it up and you're telling everybody nobody will play you, I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to get yourself to the level of competition, and it is what it is.
I will tell you, I admire Ed Orgeron more. I know everybody hated what he said in the locker room, but I mean, he flat out said, we beat them, and we're going to beat them every year. That's the attitude you have to have. Now, this year didn't work, but so what?
It didn't. But you're exactly right. You have to step up to it, and sometimes you have to eat those words. But, see, that's what I've always loved about
it. And, by the way, I'll tell you one more thing. I mean, the coach you guys just fired at Auburn, he wasn't afraid of Nick Saban. I will tell you this. I've never revealed this before, but he was playing somebody the week before Alabama or 2 weeks before Alabama, which was for the SEC championship game. And he told the other coach, he said, we'll see you in Atlanta. He knew he was going to, this was in 2017. He had no fear of Nick Saban. He really didn't.
I agree with Josh on one statement. Everybody's firing everybody because they're trying to chase Nick Saban. And right now they're just on a tremendous roll and there's nothing you can do about it. We saw the other night the way they just, and I get the fact that Ohio State may be a little undermanned, but you play with what you got. And even then, I didn't think that changed the outcome of the game. I mean, they're just killing everything right now. And that's just the way it is. Paul, War Damn Eagle.
Thank you very much. Let's check in with Bill, who is in South Carolina, the home of Josh Kendall. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I think Shane Beamer is going to do a good job at Carolina.
And what do you, and I'm more into, so what excites you the most about him?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, Bill. Let me just tell people, and I understand you may be on hold for a couple of minutes, or you may be on hold for a long time. We try to get you as quickly as possible. When we go to your call, best thing to do is turn that TV down. It's going to be a little easier to hear. But I realize it's not the easiest thing to do to call in a program. Let's check in with George, who is next up in Birmingham. Hey, George.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this evening? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. We're doing great.
Paul, I'm a huge Alabama fan. I married a Southern Miss girl. But both of us are even bigger fans of college football. I love all the pageantry behind it. And, you know, throughout the national championship, Alabama and Ohio State going back and forth, and even Alabama and Clemson a couple of years ago, they went back and forth. But after the game, there was this sense, you know what? We got beat. We're going to get you another day. But I keep hearing out of the back of my mind that this obnoxious voice that honestly, if I could get a hold of it, I would strangle it, and that's Florida. They keep saying, well, we could have done this, or we could have done that, or we didn't have this. Florida fans just need to shut up and accept where they're at. They got beat by Oklahoma. They got beat by A&M. They got beat by Alabama. You know, they want to make all these excuses as to, well, this and that, but shut up. Nobody gives a damn about Florida. Do something. Become relevant again. Paul, have a good night.
Thank you very much. Cheryl in Spartanburg is up next. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say it really starts getting boring when these people that say they're fans of Alabama, and then they start talking about being bored with their success. I don't understand that. And, you know, Josh said that. I don't know how long he's been an Alabama fan, or if he's an alumni, or where he is on that. But
let me make it clear. He's not an alum of Alabama. He was just simply saying that. And it's easy to say it, but yeah, Alabama this year was so good that very few people thought they were going to lose. Although I was watching the pregame show, Lee Corso picked Ohio State to win. Stuart Mandel, who's one of the most influential college football writers in America, picked Ohio State to win. I saw countless predictions, 2-3-point game. So, I mean, it's always easy after the fact to say things, but leading into the game, most people thought it was going to be a great game.
Exactly. And I myself, you know, being an Alabama fan, and my husband's a Bama boy, and we thought it was going to be a lot closer game. Of course, we wanted Alabama to lose and thought they would, but we really did think it was going to be a closer game. But I just don't understand the mentality of these people that keep saying they're bored. I mean, Alabama has gone through some dry spells. It's not like they have
Cheryl, you're talking to somebody that lived in Alabama during those dry spells. And
exactly.
I mean, they had
what do they want us to do? Water down the system to keep them from being bored?
They had three straight. They had three coaches during a period. They had Mike Dubose, and Dennis Franchione was there for 2 years, and then they had Mike Price, who never made it to his first game. He got fired after an incident in a strip joint, and then Mike Shula. So let's calm down here. When Alabama went out and hired Nick Saban, they did it with they finally got their act right after about 15 years of hiring a bunch of wayward coaches, and they're benefiting from the results. But it wasn't easy, and it took some brilliance by that administration, especially Mal Moore. We will take a break. Coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back, and let's check in with Alex in Kentucky. Alex, welcome to the show. Good evening.
Paul, first time, long time listener.
Thank you.
Got a question for you. So Josh's comments that I just got, I just want to talk to you about real quick. So your radio show is one of the best right now in sports radio, and I compliment you on that. But my question is,
thank you.
Don't you think you ought to retire since – you're at the top of your list right now.
You're absolutely right. This is it. Today is my final day on the air. It's just not fair.
You know, it's just like, so why don't we give everybody trophies for, you know, for since they didn't win a national championship, let's give everybody trophies, and that way everybody can win, and that way nobody has to compete, and that's what competition is. You know, you got to compete. You compete, you get better, and that's when you win. And Alabama right now, they're doing that right now. And I mean, I just don't understand that comment. That's the way right now. It's, you know, I coach basketball, but I coach high school and middle school basketball. So we have kids right now that think all they have to do is just show up, and we give them playing time, and we give them a trophy for winning. And you know, I think that starts back from him. Making comments like that.
Well, no, I don't mind you saying one thing, but you know, as a coach, if one of your players comes over and says, you know, I don't think we should be doing that play, it's not during a game, but maybe in private, I'm sure you would ask him, like, well, what do you think we could do better? You just don't say, well, okay, let's go ahead and forfeit.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we just don't give them trophies, and we don't give them playing time for not working hard. And I just think that that's where society's going right now, that, you know, if we don't keep competition and people working hard, then you're never going to have sports. It's going to be the level it is. And Alabama is probably the best sports team in any sports, you know, from football to basketball, the NBA, the NFL, Major League, and even golf. You know, they're just great. But that's all I got to say. But I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank you very much. Sean is in Indianapolis. You're on the air. Go right ahead, Sean.
Paul, thank you so much for taking my call again. I could not believe that Josh said that. That they should just give somebody else a chance at the championship. I am fearful that this is the way it's going, our system is going. And for me, that is, it's just so scary. I cannot believe he said that.
Yeah, I was a little surprised myself. I was just surprised he didn't have a solution.
He said his solution was to see if Nick Saban could take a year off. Or convince him to go into retirement. I was appalled.
I was on a program earlier today, Sean, and I was on with Mike Greenberg and Reese Davis, and the same subject came up, and And Reese really laid out a solution to maybe tweaking the system. And I joked. I said, well, the only thing you can do is just get everybody to chip in millions of dollars and beg Nick Saban to retire. That was a joke. What Kendall said was not a joke. He was serious.
He was a serious. And what gets me the most about that is that he cannot appreciate the tireless effort that Nick Saban puts into becoming, having his team that he loves so much becoming champions. It is literally a thing of beauty.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not like, Sean, we went to a review and they awarded Alabama the national championship. Rick is in Southern California, and you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I think Josh's point was kind of like we're losing our audience type thing. I don't know that necessarily he was just saying it's unfair or anything like that. I think he was just trying to make the point that the more and more this goes on, the more and more we're losing.
That is factual, and you know, we've talked about every year.
And being an Alabama fan and an almost 60-year Alabama fan, this is a great time for us Alabama fans, and that there's just no doubt about it. But another thing that a lot of folks need to look at, a lot of college football fans should look at, is this is history. You're never going to see this again. So if it's not your team, it sucks for you. But the fact of the matter is, this is history. We're never going to see a run like this again. So kind of, I don't know, maybe sit back and enjoy it and see how many he can get. Maybe he can get to 10. Who knows? I mean, he's got the classes coming in that can certainly, certainly make a challenge for that. But I just wanted to real quick, I know Jeff is a jackass, a guy up in Ohio, but I just want to let everybody know, I've got a lot of Ohio State friends, co-workers, and we were texting all night Monday night, and to a man, every single solitary one of them were congratulatory. They were humble. They were congratulating me the next day. Not all Ohio State people are like this. I know there's a lot of knuckleheads out there, but let's face it, there's a lot of knuckleheads on the Alabama side as well. So I just hope people don't get, I know it's going to be going on all year long, about how horrible fan base they have and this, that, and the other. And
Rick, I'm glad you said that. The year after Alabama lost to Ohio State, I was invited to come up to Columbus to speak to a group and met some very, very great people and some people that were connected to the school. And I had a blast, and we went back and forth all night. It was give and take.
Yeah. But
you can't help it. I mean, there's a song, I think, it was Montgomery Gentry many years ago did the song, There's One in Every Crowd, and that's Jeff. I mean, he's the loudmouth at the end of the bar that you do want to just get, ask the bartender for a baseball bat, but you don't want to spend the rest of your life in jail.
Right, and my buddies and I have been saying, hey, this is the rubber match coming up next year. I mean, Ohio State took down Alabama in 2014. We got them back this year. I think the big question was, and why everybody was wondering why it was going to be such a great game, is which Alabama defense was going to show up.
Right.
Well, Christian Barmore took care of that. Good Lord, he had a game. And I'm going to leave you with this. I would have, and as much as I love Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner, best player in the country, Monday night, to me, Mac Jones was the MVP. I mean, that kid had the game. I mean, you can't catch the ball if it's not put in the perfect spot. And he threw some passes, Paul, on Monday night that he's thrown all year long. And we were all wondering which Mac Jones might show up. Was he going to pucker up a little bit or anything? But let me tell you, he was the MVP. And number two, the offensive line. Nobody's really talking about
it. They were great.
That offensive line protected and opened holes all night long for the Bama running backs and some of the runs that Najee and Robinson had were just freakish runs. So as much as I love Devontae and he deserves everything that he got, Mac Jones, to me, you're the MVP, pal. Have a great evening, Paul. Okay. Thanks for taking the call.
Someone please tell Devontae to send the trophy back. We will take a break. We still have a couple of minutes left. And I think what you're seeing is the menu for the next couple of months. It's going to be a tug of war between many, many different sides. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.